Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. What we've been covering is Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, because we just discovered as we were walking out and growing in wisdom that the Lord revealed that this is what's being used, that the world appears to be being organized and America is being organized, and that really meant nothing at first until we began to walk. What does that mean, and what are we being organized for? And then we find out that the reason why Rules for Radicals is important to understand is because our current president taught it for 4 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's an organizer. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, to learn those kind of tips. But then we found out that the book Rules for Radicals is dedicated, Saul Alinsky dedicated to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of the book, it's dedicated to Barack Obama at that time, but President Barack Obama, and to Hillary Clinton, who did a thesis on it. And understand, there are, so we took these 13, we're taking these 13 Rules for Radicals, which are tips for Lucifer, how to, you know, we found out about him. It's got to, you know, it's dark tips for figuring out how to, you know, cause things to happen. And but we did find out in the context of this, this is something very important that I want to be able to say, is as we're on this journey, we didn't walk into this and say, and we still don't. We're just letting you know what God has revealed to us, that when you talk about fundamental transformation, and you heard that even during the campaign, that that might not even been, you know, his original word, because you can see it on the VFN Torch. You're watching a meeting with three or four progressive people who one of them is Cass Sunstein,
mm-hmm.
who said they were looking for, and this is prior to our president being president, mm-hmm. they were looking for somebody who would be a transformational president who was progressive.
Right.
And they were comparing. They compared Hillary Clinton, they compared Barack Obama, and they compared
Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards, and they said that Jonathan Edwards was the most progressive.
Right.
That that Hillary Clinton was a moderate kind of, and based on some of the studies that we found out, that is because she wouldn't work for Alinsky, but she actually did a paper for Alinsky. You know, it's sealed today as her thesis. But then that Barack Obama was the least president. I'm saying Barack Obama because at that time he was Senator Barack Obama, but he was the most senator. He was the most middle of the road, which would be totally against their. They would need to pick somebody else. So then we heard his pastor for 20 years, approximately 20 years, pastor, former pastor, who married him and his wife and all, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, say that you don't understand that he was selected before he was elected.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to, everybody has to realize this, you know, he has some stuff he has to do because he wouldn't have got here because they pay, it costs a lot of money to run for president. And that, I think that's what he was saying in the content.
$1 billion.
Yeah, and so he was kind of explaining at that time. And so we heard that from the Sean Hannity. It was played on that on Fox News. But in the but then when we saw the panel, we're realizing that, and this is so important as things are unfolding, because this is the word that was spoken by a prophetic man that, and you know, Pat, me, and you, and Ian Scully, and
mm-hmm.
Maybe
a couple other folks.
Yeah, folks was there at the boardroom, and Bailey.
Steve Bailey,
moving prophetically, spoke about that the particular president that would be in office now, that was the word that was given back then, would regret where things ended up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that kind of makes sense because, you know, that wasn't his agenda, but he got chosen for that agenda. Sort of like Woodrow Wilson, that the progressives came and got Woodrow Wilson because he was a good orator and he was a good speaker, and they first met with him, can you buy into this particular progressive concept of, and it's been over 100 years now since then, pretty much so. And what came out of that was World War One,
United Nations.
Yeah, the United Nations. But in the context of that, was that they asked this question on that panel at at the John F. Kennedy Library when they're discussing who they're going to select. I mean, there I was like, oh, I see. It's not this myth that we have where people just like, you know, there's you know, this good guy that just goes out and you think about the old movie All the King's Men,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it happens really like that. And so this is the question that they asked themselves. They didn't know that if they thought a lot of great things about Senator Barack Obama at that time, but they said, we don't know if he has the character to be able to transform, to be a transformational president.
Yeah.
He can stand through this. And think about it. And it's like, oh, so when he was selected by a lot of folks. And when we said, you know, Alinsky's children, and we named a couple of them, we put a blank there. The reason why, because all these folks who are looking for progressive, and this is the context of definition of progressive, is that the Constitution is outdated.
Yeah.
The Constitution is outdated, and that, you know, there's many gods. There's not just one God. Mm. There's not one nation under God. Our founding fathers are old hat. And these things need to be changed. And that's not a progressive area. We don't, our Constitution is what we're made of.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, that when you hear what Steve Bailey was told by the Lord, that he said that he was revealed to him by the Lord, and he was speaking to us in that particular boardroom, I can see where the regret would come in. It makes me think about, which is really cool, because I really like him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, dag.
Yeah.
Dag,
what a shame.
What
yeah.
a shame.
Like, yeah.
You know, I was like, no, this is yeah. like, no. And it really blows a lot of paradigms for me, because I would have thought totally differently. Anyway, then I think about what God said to you about that as well. You remember?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that and we could get back. Because before, at the same time when they're discussing this, probably John F. Kennedy, God spoke to you specifically sure. about their selection and what was really going on. If we're learning out loud
yeah.
and keeping the conversation light. And that's, the Lord just reveals and unfolds things. That's how he does, you know, he doesn't tell us the whole thing. But, you know, in that particular panel that was taking place, it was pretty well stacked. It was in Boston. It was in the JFK Library. And even the narrator or the leader of the panel was going, this is a stacked panel,
yeah,
which is kind of a progressive panel. But this is prior to our current president's first term. And, of course, at that time, I believe it was Hillary Clinton and
Jonathan Edwards
that were running, and they're talking about him. You can see this yesterday. You can watch the whole panel. I'll give you some perspective there, because when we heard the president's pastor, Jeremiah Wright, former pastor, talk about y'all have to understand, because people appear we're trying to push the president for, you know, do something for us or something like that. And he was selected. He was selected before you elected him. And he was talking about having to first do these other things first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much, you know, something this large and running for it. There's a lot of different interests, and I can imagine, you know, running for it.
Right.
But then Steve Bailey, you know, prophesies and shares a prophetic word about that the this current president, this was happening beforehand, the word came over, would regret where he led the nation, which is encouraging, because, you know, you would think like, really, come on, this is right. like, you know, it just seems like a...
You have to know what's going on here.
Yeah, right. And, but they see, it's like, oh my goodness, he had these people in the background that are selecting and just orchestrating sure. and all, it's Alinsky. And, but then you think about... So that means then the person up front's really not the ones leading things.
Right.
I don't know, sort of like Ahab and Jennifer?
I think her name is...
Joyce?
Wrong answer.
Okay, anyway, it's something like that. And so even though that Ahab's supposed to be running, there's something else going on. It could be a board of directors. It could be a whole organized progressive movement. It could be, you know, interest groups or whatever. You know, pushing the agenda, and you're just up front just trying to fulfill that particular agenda. And so, but, you know, giving a light perspective of what God, you know, what's God's word saying about all this, because it's our nation, you know, it's our responsibility to pray for those in authority and to bless them. And hearing the fact that that he would regret where it was going. It's encouraging mm-hmm. because it's wow. And but then you think about when you think about you know, being selected before being elected. When you hear his pastor said, you think about, and they were talking about, but does he have the? And you heard nerve, yeah. right? And I heard, does he have the character to be able to do this? And they're talking about to grab a hold of the horns of this nation and just shift it. I mean, fundamentally transform it. Does he have enough to be a fundamental? Does he have enough to be a transformational president?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were looking. But they're looking to select one. And in the context of that, they said, but does he have the nerve? Does he have the character to be able to do that? Well, yeah, it's amazing how the progressive concept of values and understand that, hey, you know, that First Amendment rights are very important. It lets us be able to worship God freely and to be able to gather freely and to go to the memorials freely and different things of that nature. But when you think about character, I mean, give the definition of character.
Character. The aggregate of features and traits that form the individual's nature of some person or thing.
So when you think about it, what they were saying was, does he have these attributes that's going to take to be able to be a transformational presidency? And it's like, oh, I think he's proven that he has the ability to be able to do that. But you look at the merger of this, which is kind of gives us more perspective that was not the ultimate goal of his, but it was others' goals that were going on up, you know, and but then again, it's like, okay, if he got selected, then what are they using our nation? Are they using our government to fulfill this thing? Are they, you know, pressing on our president to push in a direction that maybe he would regret or wouldn't want to go in? But then it makes me remember what God said to you.
Yeah.
God spoke to you before, same time when they're probably talking about
this
meeting and Boston, by the way. And you're in Jersey there, and God speaks to you about him being selected.
Yeah.
And what did God say to you about that?
Actually, I was here in Florida when that happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was back in the 2008 during the primaries.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, neither party had selected their main candidate yet, so it was a wide open, you know, race, mm-hmm. and it was Hillary that was running, as was Jonathan Edwards, and now President Barack Obama, then Senator Barack Obama, and it was right after we were talking about Jeremiah Wright, but it was right after Pastor Jeremiah Wright made those statements that just went, you know, downhill mm-hmm. at that particular point. You know, it was controversial statements that he made. I thought there was no way in my own mind that he was, you know, president, that Barack Obama then was going to become the president, that it was over, it was done. And everyone was watching closely this particular race, 2008. They knew how big this race was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we've been abiding and praying, as many believers were during this time, that this is going to be the president of the United States. We want the right candidate. And I went, I had a dream that night. God spoke to me in a dream. And in the dream, I saw a few things. One of the things that I saw was the president making a homosexual covenant agenda with gays.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see now, the legislation, I mean, that wasn't even going on. Actually, it was with the church.
Mm-hmm.
But this has come in the forefront. That wasn't even on the agenda. You didn't even hear about it.
Right.
But we've made radical changes in regards to laws and different things that were going on at that time. The second thing I saw was the president, then the senator, standing in a room of a house, and I automatically knew in the dream that he had won the election. Now, mind you, no one, you know, we didn't know yet which way this thing was going to go, but not only did he win the primary, but he actually won the election. And his arms were folded. I remember distinctly his arm was folded, and it was the same image that I remembered seeing on the cover of a Time magazine that was published,
mm-hmm.
and his arms were folded across each other, and he had won the presidency. And right behind them, I saw what appeared two white-haired men from Congress, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were senators, but they were, you know, obviously a you know in government, and they were patting him on the back as congratulations, you know. They were patting him. They were behind him. The very next scene was a president dead with the marking of, you know, when they do a crime scene where they have the yellow chalk, if you will, around his body.
Mm-hmm.
I instantly just woke up shocked out of my dream. I mean, This was a dream, but I woke straight
And nobody in America knew that who was going to be the president.
Nobody knew. Right. And I just remembered instinctively grabbing my wife's leg on the left of me and just saying, oh, my goodness, it's a setup. And instantly, I just felt like God was downloading to me, you know, connecting the dots, this and that. And he was young and inexperienced. A lot of things people were saying that this is a young senator. I mean, there wasn't that much experience in leading. I mean, no one could really point to any particular job that he had besides being a state senator for a few years. What has he led? And, you know, my mindset wasn't on those things, but instantly God just started firing all those things, you know, to me. I got up at earlier in the morning, started writing all the stuff down. But what I couldn't shake from me, that this was a setup.
Right.
He's being set up.
Right.
And then, sure enough, not only did he win for the DNC to be their representative, and then he actually won the election.
Right.
But that's what happened.
And so when you see then that we're seeing things unfold, it was the people who wanted to have a transformational presidency.
Sure.
Who selected him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're wanting to transform our nation from the Constitution, from the Founding Fathers,
mm-hmm.
original documents. All of a sudden, 27 reasons for our Declaration of Independence turns into one, taxation mm-hmm. without representation.
Yeah.
And then then bring in many gods instead of having one. Until you try to water down God, mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you saw was this big, huge stadium that was produced by more than likely progressives that had the big stadium receiving him when he won. And then you had
Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, I don't think it was Mile High Stadium. I can't remember. It could have been. Was it Mile High?
In Denver?
Was it Mile High Stadium?
This is in Denver where he received his
Was it Mile High?
Mile High Stadium. That was it. He was a mile high.
Oh, my goodness.
Up.
It was the high place.
But not only that, it was the columns, the whole thing.
But the whole thing was, it's like, okay, this needs to be the let's got to do this thing right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's transform this thing. The presidency. Let's transform the nation.
Yeah.
That's what the transformational they're talked about. And you can see this on the VFN Torch. You can watch it. And so we're in the words where it's going to be fundamentally transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of a sudden this whole thing's being staged and how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Whoever the group or people or that believe in, you know, it needs to be fundamentally changed and who selected. And so then you see the very beautiful systematic answering to our history in regards to, you know, that the fact that the president would ride the same train in from that Lincoln rode. And the wife's like, that's just perfect.
Yeah.
That's like perfect. Well thought out. When you're running a campaign, you don't have that time to think all this thing through. And then it's like, think about it. He rode the very president that signed the Emancipation Proclamation, that he rode that same train in from Illinois.
From Illinois.
And it's like, that's perfect because here's our first African-American president. This is like, yeah. And then going all the way to Mississippi and having another part of what's going on at the university there, which was, you know, history that was oppressive to the African American in that particular city that they were in. I mean, everything was like all these little parts were being touched.
Even went
and
to Selma as well.
Yeah, went to Selma and the context of it, and it was just like, hey, this is like perfect. These things are being answered, and this is that. And then swearing in on Lincoln's Bible, you know, the context of that. But then all of a sudden, we started seeing the selection take place in regards to where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? Because even they saw him as a more middle of the road type.
A centrist, I think they call him.
Yes, centrist or something like that. But you get the exact wording when you listen to it on the VFN Tour. It's a panel. But it was like, but now, you know, it's sort of like a pastor. He's first got to take care of how he's selected. But, and it's like, oh my goodness, when, these things are unfolding. You're thinking, well, this is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think, like, that wasn't his original intent. That that couldn't have, must not have been his original intent. But when people sit with you, it's like, if you want to be the president, you know, this is some things that we would want you to do. We're deciding on who we're going to select. And it was neck and neck with Hillary and him. And I think she was even shocked.
Yeah.
That, you know, but they're both Alinsky's, followers of Alinsky's teachings and the context of that. And I think her husband was more upset than he was. And
outburst in South Carolina.
But it just showed. But it just showed us, like, oh well, we're thinking that the president's in charge. We're thinking that everybody in Israel's like, we're thinking that Ahab was one leading this country,
right.
But God knew who was actually leading it. And it's like, okay, this we can understand now, that this is making sense spiritually. That you know, darkness covers the earth, that darkness covers mankind. This is just Lucifer tactics, that, you know, somebody behind the scenes is not just pulling the purse strings, but pulling the national agenda, trying to transform it. But we got to say, and the answer is for those who love the Lord and are called according to the name of Jesus, is that we have to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and begin to seek his face again.
Mm-hmm.
Get in his word, get in the light again, and begin to see what God reveals to us about what he wants to do and what it's looking like, what he wants to do, or is going to do, is once we get in the light, we're going to speak the light, believe the light, and he's going to release his angels to fulfill the light of his word. And all of a sudden, what looked like it was a total disaster in the point where you're caught between Pharaoh's army and a Red Sea, that God's going to handle them both when we look up and seek him like Moses did. You know, we're talking about where, you know, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the president's pastor at the time that he became president, said that he was selected before he's elected. You have to understand that he was trying to, I think he was, it seemed like he was just trying to say, you know, give him a break. I mean, he got here because people selected him. Now he has to do. But then we're finding out, when we heard the panel, and God led us to the panel at JFK's library prior to that. And then God speaks about to you in the dream at the very same time, is that he was not only selected, but it's almost being set up to be able to, it's almost like he's being used as some of those styrofoam columns and those train rides and those symbolism.
Sure.
And it's like, it just breaks my heart to see the legitimate pain of people used for personal gain. People that had the struggle, that went through the horrific pain of oppression and abuse and neglect and just violating their civil rights, and then somebody used that for political gain.
Yeah.
And use that and just use folks. And it's like, oh, that's too personal to be used, you know, it's kind of my heart how I see that. But it seems like a lot of people do, you know, try to do that. But so when in that panel, then you think about it, and we're trying to give a better perspective, to get an aha moment in regards to that when Steve Bailey was prophesied about that this president will regret, you know, where he led the country. Now we can look at that panel when they were deciding who they were going to select. That Cass Sunstein was on that panel, and he was very. Yeah, he was talking about in detail.
He had an opinion.
Plans about how to do it. And so we were thinking that when he became president, that he selected Cass Sunstein, the information czar, the regulatory czar, but it's more like information czar,
sure.
And which is the Goebbels type. We talk about the Goebbels methodology that Woodrow Wilson used about information getting, nudge. His book is Nudge. And so we're thinking, oh, well, he hired Cass Sunstein. He selected Cass Sunstein to be a part of his cabinet. And they're finding out. I'm thinking, I don't know this to be a fact. I just know what Cass said. I know what they were saying then and there. And we're seeing what God's saying about that. We're listening to God's perspective of this, that this wasn't his original intention. He's being set up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And hearing him saying, Cass Sunstein and others on that panel say, we're looking for somebody that has a transformational president. And then hearing Pastor Jeremiah Wright say, you don't understand, he was selected before he was elected. And then seeing, oh my goodness, it's actually that possibly that the president did not choose a select Cass Sunstein to be the information or regulatory czar. Cass Sunstein, the information czar, regulatory czar, data man, he's the one that selected the president.
Wow.
Him and the others that were with that mindset of what they feel the country needed to go. It's like, my goodness. And so we're finding out, wait a minute. And this should help us have, you know, and let me know, and I want you to know this. The second, you know, that we found out that God's revealing this to us, and this is years ago, this is prior, we have not stopped praying for our president and for the first lady. And we have documented prayers that we have prayed 4 years plus, protection, blessing over him and Michelle and his daughters, and against anything the adversary wanted to do to them. And for 24 hours every single Monday, prayer after prayer has gone up for our president. First of all, God tells you to pray for those in authority over you. Secondly, we know what the enemy was trying to do. We don't want to prevent that, you know, from anything happening. And every president's had, you know, I was born the same day, same hour that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. His brother was assassinated in 1968. Dr. King was assassinated in the same. And it's like this, evil things happen, and we don't want that to happen. So we've been praying protection, that God would put protection around the president and keep him safe from what he revealed to us. And that the president, but the Lord revealed to us. And we don't know any details or anything. We just know what God has said. But when we're starting to see these things unfold, there's people behind the scenes that have dark mindsets about what they want to do and where they want to see this country going. And one is to leave the founding principles of our founding fathers, that we are one nation under God, that all of our rights come from God, and that they see the Constitution as a list of negative rights. You know, and instead of positive, in other words, as if rights come from government. But when the rights come from God, the government doesn't need to write down what rights you have. But the second the government starts writing down what rights you have, they're saying that rights come from government.
Right. It means so, they can take them away.
Yeah, exactly. And so people say, that's right, I want some more stuff written down. It's like, no, there's God's, you're it's free already, in it's God. Already, yeah, it's called done. Freedom. Let's get this thing free. And so they're wanting to fundamentally transform the aspect of that we're seeing things unfold. So we begin to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk more about these 13 tactics. I think we're on the maybe the ninth tactic, maybe. Or
I think the 11th.
The 11th tactic. That means we only have three more to go.
Yeah.
And when you hear the light perspective, you know what to do when you're seeing these tactics used. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, you can go to the VFN Torch and you can see the prayer that we pray. We pray over the president, and we pray also as the Lord leads us. But know this, that even if you feel that people are adversarial towards you, God tells us to even pray for your enemies.
Yeah.
And so if you start moving in your own strength and you start doing things out of your own mind, out of pride, you're joining with darkness. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be successful. And God loves every human being on the face of the earth. He would that no man would die outside of him. And darkness is darkness. Just because it's not your form of darkness does not mean that you're in a different, it's a different type of destiny for you. Mm-hmm. And it's like outside of Jesus Christ, there's one destiny. As a matter of fact,
don't forget the nature of sin. You know, sin makes you go, you know, way further than you ever wanted to go, makes you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay, and it'll make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. So once you flirt with it, it'll take you down a long, slippery slope you never intended to go.
Right, and so just remember this. Remember that you know, outside of the light of God, we walk around in darkness.
Yeah.
And everybody. But when we get in the light as Jesus is in the light, and get in his word, we begin to see, because his word is a lamp unto our feet. It tells us where we are. It's a light unto our feet. And it also is a lamp unto our path. It shows us where we're going. It begins to give us vision and clarity. We cannot see outside of Jesus Christ, period. But we can see. That's why when they called prophets seers, they could see.
That's right.
You can see. You can see because of the light of God.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, well, how did you know that? I just see it. But you only see it because God is allowing you to see it through his light. And that's what the Lord says. He says that he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh and will prophesy and see visions. In other words, light will begin to manifest on the face of the earth. But still, even so, the only way to God, the only way to eternal life, the only way to have forgiveness of sin, as Paul was saying to King Agrippa, was through making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You cannot be a child of the day and a child of the night, because the second you left being a child of the day and become a child of the night, you've made a decision, I'm no longer a child of the day. But you know what? God has called us to bring you into the light. Mm. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're giving you a light perspective. You can hear the word of God. As a matter of fact, hearing faith comes by hearing the word of God. And if you have family members and friends that you want to be able to be encouraged and kind of get a light perspective of what's going on, turn them on to VFN Radio. Turn them on to VFN TV. Just go to VFNTV.com. Download our app. It's a free app for Windows and Android and for Apple. You can watch us on VFN or WHBR television, also at VFNTV.com. There's so many different ways to be able to get the light. You can like us on Facebook. Oh, my goodness.
Get the
podcast, which comes every day into your mobile device that you can hear, or on your computer, ever how you want to get that. You can hear it at your own convenience. It is so important in these dark days to walk around truly as children of the day. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFN radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us. VFN Radio taking place. We are so excited about it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business, or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.